Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 156 is coming at you right now. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.theportalct.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Portal Game Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Hello, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, for this episode 156, which is my games played in July. Things have been really busy. So you may have noticed that there wasn't quite as many episodes. I hope we had it was a tropical storm. It wasn't a hurricane that came through, and it actually my power was okay. The power at the store was out a lot longer, but then my internet was down. We had no internet even though we had power, which was fine. But I couldn't post everything, and then I had a bunch of episodes in the can to post for our Gen Can't weekend, where Brian and Larry and I got together and played, I don't know, 30 games or something that we talked about, maybe 20 games. Whatever it was, but we played a whole bunch of games and talked about those, so hope you got a chance to listen to that. And now we are jumping into the world of streaming on YouTube. So we have a video channel there. You can check out that channel on YouTube. It is The Portal. It's a little tricky to search, so you can find links. There's a lot of other things called The Portal or Portal or Portal Gaming. So you can get there from our Facebook page. I did put a tweet out for people to get to one of the videos. If you actually search Unmatched Medusa vs. Sinbad, which is a lot more rare thing, it'll be the first thing that pops up. So that's what I've been telling people as of now. Did a solo playthrough of Yukon Airways. Larry and I did a live stream of Skytear and Marvel Champions, which you're going to see a lot of Marvel Champions on there because we really like that. And just think it's a good game for people to check out and jump in. And right now we're playing stuff that's in the store, but we're playing stuff that that we really like. We're just trying to show you, hey, like, we honestly enjoy this. We've been playing this during quarantine, and we want you to know about it. Which Skytear is one of those games. It's just, I don't think people will know about it without the word of mouth. So we want to get it out there to everybody and whatnot. So anyway, with all that going on, and a shout out to Gary Pope, who came and helped us get everything up and running and is helping us buy all the equipment and everything. We've been doing a lot of work building up that studio and whatnot, so as this is all going and as I start school, definitely expect the podcast to take a little bit of a back seat here, so it's probably going to be more like two episodes a month. If I can do that, it might be one episode a month, but I am certainly not dropping the podcast. This is still something we want to do. In fact, I want to try to do some live recordings of the podcast on the YouTube channel, so you could just watch live and then you'll hear the podcast posted later, whichever way you want to do that. To put those things up there. So, definitely still here. This is our main source of reviewing games. The YouTube channel is our main source of showing off the games. So, I mean, you'll probably hear our opinions, but you might not get a concise review like you would on here. So, that's kind of the idea. So check that out. I know this week we're hoping to do Unmatched Cobble and Fog. We're going to do Skytear with the Ashen Pass map that just came out. We're going to do some Marvel Champions. We want to show off Marvel United. What else did we want to do? So those are some of the things. I think I'm going to film a solo playthrough of Star Realms Frontiers for people to see that. But definitely if there's things that you're interested in seeing, let us know. You can email portalgamepodcast@gmail.com and say, hey, can you put this up on the YouTube channel? Or just, you know, directly comment on there for something you want to see, because that's really what we want to do. We want to show off games that you're interested, that you want to see. Oh, Project Elite, we want to show that one as well. So that's probably the big news and what's going on in terms of all that, but I think then we'll just jump in here. Oh, no, I want to mention that Jason Perez, a friend of the podcast who's been on, who did Every Night is Game Night on the Dice Tower Network, but I hate to say he retired the podcast because I don't know, but he's on hiatus from the podcast, and he started a YouTube channel called Shelf Stories. So definitely search that one, subscribe to his channel as well. He's got great content, especially if you like solo play, but it's not all solo play, and he's going to have conversations on geeky stuff, pop culture, as well as he always did like mental health things on mental health segments on Every Night is Game Night, so he'll have that on there as well. So definitely like and subscribe his channel as he's getting that up and running at the same time as we're getting ours up and running. So that is that. Awesome. I'm going to run through 35 games that I played in the month of July. I know it's into August here, but it was all those things that happened in terms of all that. So that's why this is a little bit late and even later when I probably get it posted. But anywho, here we go. A little bit longer list of kind of what I deem meh games. And again, a lot of these are meh, like that play was meh. Some of these I'm actually looking and I've gone back to play again or kind of looked over and I was like, you know what? It was better than that, but this specific play wasn't quite as good in terms of that. And I'll try to note some of that as I go through. First one up is Side Effects. We mentioned this in the Gen Can't thing. This is a game that I would probably not play again at all, my 35th. It's just trying to kind of poke fun about taking medicine and then getting side effects, and then now you're susceptible to something else. And it's all in good humor, but I'm not there. And the game was not exciting at all. It was draw a card, play a card, and not interesting. So I'm out. 34, Monopoly Tropical Tycoon. So this is like, I think this is designed by Rob Davio, and heard it was like one of the better versions of Monopoly. It was still Monopoly. It's Monopoly with a DVD, and you get selections, and there's a story. It was so weird in ours, because we're on a tropical island, and then it was all about aliens invading, and it really was a strange connection. But things I liked about it were that it had a way for you to just end. You could just decide we want to end, and then it had like a star point scoring system. So you add up your money, and you say, oh, I have this much money, and so this is what I would get for points and property and etc. So that's kind of nice that you just kind of end when you feel like ending. So that was good on that front in terms of that. But overall, you know, if I want to play Monopoly, I might stick to this. It was not shorter. Well, it was shorter. Yeah, because you can end any time. So you could say we're going to play for an hour and then it's going to be over. So it's definitely shorter, but it was just the same thing. But there. You do get to buy different buildings. You can buy like docks and restaurants. So see, this is one when I think about it, it's a little more interesting than when I kind of wrote it down in here. What I was probably most disappointed was Civ A New Dawn, because I knew they're making a new expansion, the Fantasy Flight game. And this is my 33, and I remembered kind of liking this game. We played it with two, Kathy and I, and it was dull. Like, it just didn't go anywhere. There's so many other Civ-type games I'd rather play. So I'm still interested in the expansion, but yeah, this really kind of lowered this game that I thought I remembered thinking was okay. The mechanism is so good. You have five cards in a row, and you get to pick one, and based on where it's slotted in slot 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you get a bigger effect, and that's great, but the board couldn't have been more boring with two people. It was just not interesting. So that was that piece, Civ A New Dawn, but we'll see how the expansion changed it. Maybe it's just not two-player, but boy, it really makes me want to play the big Sid Meier's Civilization game, which is still in my back pocket to play that one. 32 is Fallout Shelter, the new Fantasy Flight game. It's neat. It's got the Fallout theme, which I'm not super familiar with. And then Fallout Shelter is like a little app, I think, that they made that's related to that. And it's just basically a worker placement game. You're placing workers, and you're trying to build buildings in your shelter, and then monsters are attacking, and you can go on those spaces and roll a die. This monster, you have to roll a 6+. I think it might be a 12-sided die, 10-sided die. I think it's a 12-sided die. And if you roll, then you're going to get victory points, and you're trying to amass your victory points for the end of the game, and you can get more workers, and your workers can get injured, and then you have to go to spots to heal them. You know, it was mildly interesting, but at the end of the day, it was just a basic worker placement. Now, if somebody likes Fallout or Fallout Shelter, it's a no-brainer. This is a gateway game for them. 31 is Exchange. This was sent to us by Bicycle Games. Exchange is a simple stock market manipulation game. And you're just purchasing, you know, bonds and investing in banks and what's the third one? Just stocks, I think. And just each player is going to pick something they want to go up or down each round. And then you're going to decide if you're going to buy or sell that round. And then it has a price value. The trick is if it drops too low, it actually wraps around. It becomes the highest price. So if you wanted to buy for 20, but you drop too low, it's going to wrap around and become 80. So now all of a sudden you're buying really high. Buy low, sell high. That's kind of the game. you know, it was neat. I think it's kind of a family game, but eh. Railroad Rivals, played this one, talked about it on the Gen Cant thing as well, I believe. It was just long. We played with that expansion. It just, a lot of things just didn't make sense. It was hard to catch up. Tiles that were just weirdly powered. There were just other Railroad games that I think I'd rather play. So we move away from that one. That is from Forbidden Games, of which I love Raccoon Tycoon and Lizard Wizard is on Kickstarter now. So definitely check those out. But I don't know, Railroad Rivals, I'd actually go back to the base game and not the expansion here. But c'est la vie. 29 is Oceans. Ocean was kind of interesting. It was an easier to control, less take that version of Evolution. So you're controlling things in the ocean. It had these neat little bins where you're getting like extra fish from, and as those bins empty, the game is emptying. There were these deeps cards that you could play, and you're building a tableau of fish with different powers or different, I guess, evolutionary gains. You know, oh, we're gonna have a dorsal fin or whatever. Add pieces to them. And yeah, it was definitely interesting. I could see playing this with a bunch of people. It was fun, but overall I just didn't find the experience amazing. My cat is attacking the microphone, so we'll see how this goes. But North Star Games, I know there's people who really like Evolution. I've never really been a huge fan of that, so that might be part of it. 28 is Dwarves Spring. This is the Dwarves game that has the 7 in it. Dwarves 7S Spring. and Larry really likes these games, so this is kind of the newest one he got from Kickstarter. Again, it was fun. It was kind of a worker placement with a board that was kind of interesting. You fought things, you rolled dice. He just kind of got more powerful, and that was it in the game, so this particular play. But thinking back, I think I would try this game again. It was pretty interesting. It had nice little minis that you used to move around the board and everything. And I think there were a couple rules that were minor that we got wrong. So definitely it would be worth kind of trying again. But overall, this wasn't really a favorite play of mine from the month of July. And I apologize, I can't remember the publisher on that one for this one. 26 was another one that disappointed me. This is Bastion. And I remember getting this game. It's a Hobby World game. And I remember getting this game and kind of being like, oh, this is really fun. And then I played it recently with Brian and Adon. Or in July, a month ago, and it didn't play out. It played out weird, and we were kind of stuck at the end and whatnot. This particular play didn't go well. I was trying to reread the rules to see if I missed something. I'm not sure that I did, so anyway, that's Bastion, but I still remember this being a good game. It's really interesting how you're just kind of like placing these mana tiles and then picking up other mana colors, and you have to trade them in to defeat the monsters, and every time you defeat a monster, you get an ability that you can use. I kind of liked that element. But there it is, Bastion. Last Defense I picked up. This is a Funko game that I got at Target, and it's like a little 20-minute game, and this is actually one of those ones that's kind of moved up. Adon loves this game, so we're playing this all the time. It's got an app, so again, is this one Funko? Yeah, it is. So it's Prospero Hall, and they're kind of focused on that whole, like, app thing. And so it's a 20-minute app, and you've got to rescue the town. You are the town's last defense, and you're, like, a skateboarder and a barbecue dad and a soccer player. And basically, it's just going to tell you where monsters come out. If you're in that space, you kind of get reset to home. And you're trying to go to spaces. On your turn, you roll two dice. One tells you how far you can move. One tells you how many objects you draw. And then when you draw the objects, you use those to be able to kind of like rescue scientists. You have to have the right two objects and you can trade, and it's all in real time. It's pretty fun for a 25-minute game. It's too easy, so it's aimed at kids. Even the hard mode is easy. But there's that game. See, we're kind of moving out of this. And then the last one I was kind of met on, which funny, I did a review a little while ago, and I did only get to play this once. So I will preface, but it's because I don't have access to the game, and I'm not choosing to purchase it. But it's Godzilla Tokyo Clash, and I remember doing the review and just getting really excited at the end and being like, this game sounds great by the end, but I didn't actually enjoy my play. But you could see it moved up. This is kind of the end of the meh category. Certainly if Godzilla's your thing, certainly if kind of just laughing with friends and kind of attack each other is your thing, and a little more of a clash than King of Tokyo is. Which isn't much of one, other than kind of rolling those damage things. But this one's much more direct on the damage and throwing things around. Then this is going to be something that appeals to you. Wasn't of great appeal to me, but But yeah, there it is. On the next category, which I call the yay category, number 24 is King and Assassins. What a generic title. This is an abstract game where one player is trying to get their king guarded by knights to go into the castle entrance. The other person has all the villagers, three of whom are assassins. And you're basically just taking turns. You draw a card, which tells you how many actions you move, and actions are basically movement points. And you're trying to just move. The king can move one space per turn, and the knights can move a certain number. And you block, and you try to get in there, and if the assassin's getting hit the king twice, he is dead. And the game is over. I think it's actually one we might actually show off on the stream. I didn't like it as much, but I definitely put it in the yay category. So it was fun, and it's more expected. Certainly that title, King and Assassins, doesn't really draw in anything. So it does kind of better than that. But that's where that one falls. Next up is Xenon Profiteer. So this is a game I was really excited to dig back out because I love deck deconstructors. And Xenon Profiteer is so interesting because you are literally doing the process of getting Xenon from Earth's atmosphere. And so it's a deck builder with kind of these phases to your turn. So you have your hand of cards like you would in a regular deck builder. And then, what is the term? Displace? No. I'm sorry, I can't. Distill. You can distill out the nitrogen, and then the oxygen, and then the krypton. Normally there would be argon, but for purposes of the game, they only used four, knowing there's some traces of argon. And then the xenon would be left after that. And that's how they kind of go through the process of gathering xenon gas. They distill all the other ones out. And so if you have any nitrogen in your hand, if you have five nitrogen in your hand, you can get rid of them all. You put them all in the nitrogen pile, not even in your own hand. If not oxygen, if not krypton, and then if you're left with xenon, you just get it. So you're trying to get xenon, which is basically kind of this thing you collect to complete contracts where you can then sell the xenon for various things and earn victory points and money. Along the way, you then kind of build like a tableau of abilities that you could maybe distill a second time on your turn or draw extra cards or just get points for doing various things. I really like the game, and then we added in the expansion, and this play wasn't as good. So this is probably one that's in the WoW category, but for this particular play was down. With the expansion, it felt a little bit unbalanced. It felt a little bit like I played with Larry and Brian. They hadn't learned the game, so I think that was a little bit weird on that front. But it is what it is. I still really like the game. I feel like it's a good one to go back. That expansion, I think you could add in once everybody really knows the game, but initially, I don't think this is one to just throw in, even though it kind of feels like a no-brainer to throw in, but I don't think you should. 22, a game I've really liked, Heroes of Cascaria. This is a Haba game, and it's like a really light ticket to ride. You're trying to basically play sets of color-matching cards to race for the treasure, and you've got your like mountain-climbing cat and your flying griffin, and you're racing to get treasure and just collecting cards and playing them in pairs or sets of the same color to trigger all the abilities. A really nice little, it's definitely a family weight kids game, but pretty fun. So Heroes of Cascaria got that play of that in. 21 is Santa Monica, the new game from AEG. I think that's another one we're going to stream. The best thing to me about Santa Monica, and I don't mean this in a negative way, is the aesthetic. It just really feels like you're there, like the summer vibe. You're on the beach, you're spending sand dollars, you're trying to walk the boardwalk and walk the beach and play volleyball and get ice cream and go to the arcade. And it just really has that summer feel. Now, it's a West Coast summer feel, and I'm an East Coast summer feel kind of person. But it definitely still gave me that same vibe, and I loved that. And it's just this very casual game. Try to score these, move things around, flag down the ice cream truck. So thematically, I actually really enjoyed this game. It's essentially a card drafting game, and you could see kind of the next cards you draft from the front row, and you could see the back row, and then you could spend these sand dollars to be able to draft from the back row and get other cards. And you're just building your tableau. You start with kind of a double side. So that gives you two spaces, you add 12 more cards, you get 14 cards, and then you score. And there's all these variable like tiles you play that have different endgame conditions. So you're just playing to those. It's a good game. It's fun. Hopefully we'll show that one off soon. So Santa Monica AEG. Next up, I played a game of Splendor. I believe this was with Zephra, and Splendor's a great game. I really liked it. It's a lot of fun. It was really exciting to play with Zephra. She totally knew what she was doing. She could like evaluate what was good, what was bad. I think, did she end up getting to 15 points and then I got to 16? I think that's what happened. On my final turn, I got to 16 points and won. So, really close game. Splendor from Space Cowboys, Asmodee. Next up is Kingdom Builder. This is the much maligned Kingdom Builder, which was Donald X Vaccarino's kind of follow-up, I believe, to Dominion, which Dominion is hands down a better game than Kingdom Builder. The interesting part of Kingdom Builder is it lets you draw a card and then play three tiles on that space. And a lot of people don't like that element. You're kind of building on this grid. And then again, like Santa Monica, it has all these various endgame and in-game conditions that you're trying to satisfy. But the game would be so AP-inducing if it was like draw three cards and pick one and play. There would be so many options. So it's just a clever, like, can you read the board and understand what's going on? I mean, honestly, Dominion has this when you have the 10 piles out and you're trying to figure out what system works best. And there's people that are very good at that in terms of that. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think many people play Dominion where they're, like, high level. So they're just enjoying the cards. But I thought Kingdom Builder was fun. I don't know, it's something I'm going to pull out all the time, but it was a neat game. That is Kingdom Builder from Queen Games. Stampede is next. This is a WizKids game. It reminds me of Guildhall from AEG, but it's lighter. You're collecting stamps with animals, and you need to either have one of every stamp, or animal, which is nine, or five of a kind. On your turn, you draw a card, you play a card, and then you do what the card says. And they've got really nicely defined symbology on the card. So it shows, like, take a card from your hand, put it in your sticker album or your stamp album, and then take a card out of your stamp album, put it back in your hand. So you're kind of cycling cards through your hand, other players' hands, their tableaus, the center of the table, all sorts of options. It's really neat. I'm actually excited to try the four-player variant where you play in teams and you have to get both player on your team to get the win condition, and you can affect your teammate. I think would be really neat way to play the game. So I think that's how it'll be most exciting. Haven't tried it yet, though. Number 17 is Sanctum. Boy, Sanctum is moving up and moving up. We got this at PAX Unplugged. We played it. It was okay. We really didn't like the ending. And then once I knew the ending and played again, I was kind of like, oh, this isn't bad. And I played another multiplayer game, and oh, this is pretty good. And then they released a solo, and I really liked the solo. And the ending just doesn't get in the way like it did originally. The game could still use variability. Two or four more characters would be really nice. Even if they'd put five in the box somehow, it would have felt better. So there's a little bit on that. But knowing CGE, who publishes this, I can't imagine they're not going to do that. So I really like Sanctum, and the solo mode was fun. So that would be a good one to try out. Number 16, Empires of the Void 2. Kevin Torres, who doesn't like space games, but gave me a coupon book. There were various coupons, and one was to play a space game. So I chose Empires of the Void 2, and she definitely liked it. The space theme didn't bother her. And it's a really nice game. This is from Red Raven Games, from Ryan Lockett. And it's just fun. You're just traveling around. There's all these abilities. You're going through the galaxy. There's nothing that sounds particularly unique. The most unique thing is this deck of cards where all these events are happening, and then you're drawing kind of cards that you can either do the effect or use the number on it. That's kind of that multi-use card deck is where it's most interesting. But there's definitely a lot of story to the game. Like, it's a Euro game with this story of, like, oh, these species are going to help me out by doing this, and these aliens are going to help me doing this. In terms of all those things. So yeah, Empires of the Void 2 is really fun. It's totally different from Empires of the Void 1, which was kind of based around Nexus Ops, the old Avalon Hill game. So changed it up here. But I like Empires of the Void 2. The sculpts are nice. You get to follow each other's actions. I feel like I should explain more because I haven't reviewed this one. You get to, like, pick when it's your turn for the round. You pick, I want to do this action, everybody can follow it, or do an alternative reset action, and whatnot, where they get to draw cards and fill their hand and get more money and all that kind of stuff. So you really stay involved in the game, which is nice in terms of all that. There's that. Okay, 15 is Altiplano. This was right on the cusp of great. I think I like Altiplano better than Orleans. I don't like setting up Orleans. Altiplano was a lot to set up, too. But you're traveling around from these islands, and it's a bag builder, and you're trying to gather the right resources. I had no idea there's an expansion for this, so I really want to try the expansion with the traveler that moves around from the islands. It's definitely like... I guess it's more Euro-y. It's less thematic than Orléans. I don't think Orléans is very thematic. I mean, you move town to town, and this one you're just moving island to island, not collecting resources. But when you collect the resources, you can then put them in your warehouse for like a scoring mechanism. And you're drafting your own cards that are going to tell you how you score at the end of the game. So you really kind of build your own scoring mechanism. And I really like that, that it kind of gives you this path of like, this is what you want to do, and these are what you want to collect. So it's nice on that front. I like Altiplano. I want to play that one again. Okay, now we're moving into the wows. And it looks like I skipped a number. I do not see number 14. Oh, I do. Number 14 is Pioneers. This is a game that I heard about from Chris Kirkman on the Geek All-Stars podcast, who talked about this all the time, and I always wanted to pick up a copy. And it was great. He would call this a one-hour wonder. It's even under an hour, I imagine. Really good game. Slightly lighter than I want it to be. You're traveling west, and you're establishing towns, and you're collecting all these tiles, and you have like a board in front of you. It's really nice. You have three actions on your turn. Like, collect your income, and then pick what you want to buy, and then place it and move. And when you move, you're trying to empty your wagons, and other people can empty their wagons based on like the color of the meeples that you're trying to send to the city, which are people. And then you can collect some of those tiles for bonuses. And there's only two that let you kind of upgrade. One that lets you buy more things, and one that gives you more income. And I would like to see like another tile that lets you build a little bit more of an engine so you could take a more specific route. But other than that, it was a great game. Play this a lot in July. I think we played this like four or five times, so it was very popular. The family liked it a lot. That was a fun game. Number 13 was kind of like the big hit from our Gen Camp weekend. It was After the Virus, which is by Jacob Frixelius and Frix Games, who made Terraforming Mars. And it's just a really great game with weird art. To me, it's weird and bad. Zombie art, but it's a really fun deck builder with like a goal instead of a deck builder with points. So you have a goal that you're trying to do, and there's like 20 goals in there, and they're scenarios, but they make sense. So I mean, I guess it's thematic. Things feel thematic, right? The bike, you can get on a motorcycle and you can ride away from the zombies, or you can get a machete and chop them up. So I mean, it's thematic in that sense, but you're definitely playing the mechanics of all those things. So yeah, that was a neat game. After the Virus, I like that one a lot. Wow. 12 is Endangered. Really good game. This is from Grand Gamers Guild. I know they have a Kickstarter running now with five new species. And Endangered is a game where you are trying to protect endangered animals. And you're trying to protect them in their environment while also lobbying to various countries to get them to support you. And if you can get four countries to support, you know, acts to protect these animals, then you will win the game. Meanwhile, also keeping them alive from deforestation, oil spills, etc. And I know there's five more animals that are going to be on that Kickstarter. It's a really good game. It's co-op. It's a dice rolling, dice drafting game. I know in the Gen Can thing, Larry alluded to like his favorite mechanism, which is you place the dice and then you only pick them up when you take your turn. And every round you can pick what order people take their turns in. So some things kind of get stuck. The last time we played the Otters with Brian, we got hosed. It was tough. So that one was interesting. But definitely check out Endangered if you like co-ops. It's a pretty good family game. There's a bunch of reading, and it's hard. So you're going to lose, which is sad. But I think it's trying to get you to recognize that, hey, protecting animals is a difficult task. And we need to focus on it. So highly, highly recommend Endangered from Grand Gamers Guild. Number 11 is Smartphone Inc. This is from Arcane Wonders and Cosmodrome Games. It's in the Dice Tower Essentials line. And had a couple plays of this in July. It's a really nice little economic game. It's really like your own economics. It's not like a stock market. It's not anything adjusted. You're adjusting it yourself. So it's really like you're pricing your own things and then working from there. Yeah. In terms of all that. I reviewed this already, but just, you know, when I do the list, I try to tell you where things fell, and this is where Smartphone Inc. fell, kind of for that month. And just above it, another stock kind of style game is Pan Am from Funko Games. These are basically hand-in-hand to me. They're very similar. The Funko one is a little exciting because it's Funko, and we didn't know they were going to make games like this, and this is the heaviest game they've made. So Pan Am is, you are establishing, your own travel agency. What am I looking for? Airline. And you're trying to get bought out by Pan Am so that you can get money from them and then buy stock as their stock increases. It's a really simple stock thing. Like, hey, stock costs four right now and you could buy them. And stock is straight up victory points in the game. So the more stock you have, the better you do. And yeah, it's really neat. It's really good. I think at four players, it's going to be a little too cutthroat because there's only like these four location cards that you can draft. And I feel like with four players and four cards, that's going to get kind of crazy. But it's worker placement and a little bit of an auction in there, a really basic auction. But yeah, check it out if you haven't. Next up is Marvel Villainous. Love Villainous. It's one of my kind of guilty pleasure games, and now they made a Marvel version, and I love Marvel. I feel like that's enough said on that game, but it's great. It's just super fun to play with those villains. It is a little weird to be the villains. Like, I would prefer to be the heroes, I guess. But, you know, they're trying to take a spin on it. So, get to play those characters. So, that one's really neat. Number 8 is High Rise. I've been singing the praise of this great game from Gil Hova and Formal Ferret Games. And I like it a lot. And it looks really cool, even with these kind of cardboard buildings. But they're really tall and really nice. And it's a great, great game. With an awesome twist on that track where whoever's behind the patchwork track, or I know Olympus had it originally, the time track where if you're behind, you get to go next, and it kind of makes you move up through all these territories, and it's highly interactive. It's a great, great game. If you haven't and you are into Euros, check out High Rise. Absolutely play the introduction game and then perhaps the standard game. The full game is fine, but you're going to be in for 3 hours when you know the game, or 2.5 when you know the game. So if you get a chance to play it, definitely try that. And it's got a good solo mode as well. So, bonus. Let's see. Number 7 is Unmatched Cobble and Fog, which we will definitely stream. In fact, we might be filming that today. Unmatched is such an awesome system, and this one I know is going to appeal to a lot of people. This version has, what does it have? It has Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Invisible Man, Dracula, and Sherlock Holmes, right? So it's really neat, and they definitely start to play with some of the mechanisms here rather than just the cards, but like, what if you could break this rule or travel or add extra tokens? So it adds an extra layer. I know for a lot of people, this is their favorite version. I think I like the Jurassic Park version the best, but hey, they're all good, and if you haven't played Unmatched, it's just so good, and there's so many people I remember teaching at Dice Tower Con last year, because I got a chance to play, and honestly, most of the time, the game is like 15 minutes. The first time you're playing, you're reading your cards, maybe it's a little longer. The Cobble and Fog and the Jurassic Park one especially tends to be longer. That one ran us like 35, 40 minutes. The Cobble and Fog one runs maybe like 25 minutes, but the base set, I feel like it was like 15 minutes. Larry and I filmed one in 21 minutes, the Medusa versus Sinbad. So anyway, check it out. Even people who say this is not my style of game have liked this game. So I highly recommend that you try it if you haven't. Number 6 is Spirit Island. I got a chance to play this with Kathy, and I just adore Spirit Island. Really, really good game. She wasn't as big of a fan, but asymmetric powers, co-op play, working against the system. I mean, I'm in. Cards, figuring out all your cards. It's totally up my alley. Absolutely love Spirit Island. Great game from Greater Than Games. I feel bad when I don't say a lot about these. I feel like that one's older, so I'm not doing a big focus on it. Number 5 was Great Western Trail. This is one I really got to get more plays of this game in. Because it's really, really good and probably Pfister's best game. I've been playing a lot more Maracaibo than this. But I think this might be his best game. I'm just so bad at it. And I rarely say that. I'm usually pretty good. I'm not always winning. Larry's most likely to win a lot of games that we're playing. Kathy beats me often. But I'm never like, oh man, I have no idea. But Great Western Trail, I feel like, we'll get to the end of the game, people will be like, 87 points. 77 points, and I'll be like, 52 points. So it's just one of those games I'd like to play to try to get better and see some of the things. And we played with Rails to the North, which was great. I really like Rails to the North. It just gives you more options. I know that there's a whole thing with more plays that it might not be as good, but I'm not there yet. So Empires of the North. Imperial Settlers, Empires of the North. This is another game I want to put on stream because the Barbarian Hordes just came out. Ooh, is that what I had played here, or did I play this with everybody else with the... I can't remember if we played with the other two, the Romans and the Japanese islands. But either way, I really like this game. It's card play, it's asymmetric powers, all that. I'm big of a fan of the Barbarian Hordes, and one of the sets I can't play solo right now, so I've got to find somebody to play with. But I really, really like this game. It's not very interactive compared to Imperial Settlers, the regular one. I wish they had just called this Empires of the North. Putting the Imperial Settlers in front is weird because it is a different game, albeit slight in some sense. All right, number three, that is Maracaibo, because I think I played this twice in the month of July. It's really good. So, I mean, arguing about whether Great Western Trail or Maracaibo is better, clearly by this I'm saying Maracaibo is better, but they're both really good games. Maracaibo is just so different in that you're not like, you are doing this route, but the route isn't nearly as important as it is in Great Western Trail. The cards and the engine and the cards you lay out in front of you. So it's got much more of a Terraforming Mars feel than Great Western Trail does. In terms of that, where it's more of a deck builder, I guess. It sounds funny because they seem similar, but they are not. So Maracaibo is from Capstone Games and Alexander Pfister as well. It's just a really solid Euro. You are looking at 2+ hours, even knowing the game. This goes 2+ hours. So think Terraforming Mars length. You're not going to cut that back. You're not suddenly going to play Terraforming Mars in an hour. You're not suddenly going to play Maracaibo in an hour. Longer game. Number two is Root Underworld. Oh man, I didn't even play the new factions, and I love Root so much. The asymmetric powers are so cool. So we got to play with those ones, which I'm now forgetting the names of them, so I feel bad. But it was basically crows and moles, and we talked about that in the Gen Cant, so you can listen to it there. But yeah, I could play more Root because those factions are fun, and I know now they just made like a Steam version of Root, so that's a good place to check that out. I don't like playing board games on my computer, but nor digital, or what is it, virtual conventions, but I know people love that stuff, so I have no reason to down it for other people. But you can check it out. Root Underworld is published by Leader Games and designed by Cole Worley. So great, great game. Check out Root Underworld. I also did the Clockwork expansion, but not in July. That must have been in May, because it's been out for a little bit. And that lets you play each faction solo, versus another faction or two. You can play whatever you want. And that's been interesting. I think I've only played two of those, so I wanted to play more before I reviewed anything. This is what happens. There's so much to review. I was playing a bunch of those, and I didn't get there. But my favorite game, I don't think it'll end up being better than all these games overall, but I've been looking forward to this game. It came out, and I played it, and it was so good, and I'm so sad that I didn't back it, but it came into the store, so I picked up a copy, and it's Project Elite from Cool Mini or Not. It's a real-time battle against the aliens, complete objectives. It is so fun. It's a 2-minute timer, then you get a break. During the 2-minute timer, you're fighting off all these aliens, you're rolling dice. Your dice might tell you that the aliens have to move forward. They're trying to invade your base. If they get inside your base and then to your starting point, you lose immediately. So when you roll a die, if you roll aliens move, you have to move one alien forward one space. Every single alien moves one space, no matter what type they are. And then meanwhile, you've got dice that tell you to move, and you can trigger them to attack or search, and you can search for new items, and you can trigger events. And then often you have to go out and you have to like lay down dynamite, or you have to ambush, or you have to explore, whatever it is. There's all sorts of different things you have to do in the game. Trap aliens so you can bring them back, and whatnot. And you're rolling your dice in real time, like kind of as fast as possible, but not like lightning, breakneck speed. And it's just really, really fun. The solo game is tough, and it says it's solo on the box, and a lot of people are kind of adjusting that, so don't buy the game for solo, I would say. Two players seems fine to me. Some people complain about two because it is difficult. There's ways to kind of lower the difficulty a little bit or just play on the easiest difficulty, and it goes all the way up to 6 players, which I haven't played yet, obviously with COVID, but it's just that great fun. And then, oh, after 2 minutes, everybody takes a breather. You're high-fiving. You talk your strategy. You don't really talk strategy mid-round, but you talk, okay, we got to go here, we got to go here. And all these more enemies spawn. And then the enemies have different abilities kind of in the non-timed phase. You don't really have to track their abilities during the timed phase, but in the non-timed phase, you do. So that's where that becomes really interesting. And then you put boss monsters out. When you kill boss monsters, you get alien technology. It is a little shy of, like, there could be a little more ingenuity and maybe innovativeness in terms of, like, laying demolitions is rolling one type of die, and searching for something is rolling another side on the die, and those are obviously the same thing in terms of what you're trying to do. You do have different characters with special powers. Now, Larry had the all-in pledge, so we had, like, tons of heroes to play with, and we had the Rooks expansion, where you could play with characters who can't get items, but they start upgrading, and you draw additional monsters because they're ready to fight them, and a bunch of other stuff with more maps. So I was a little sad when I got the base game, and I was worried, like, at $99 or $100, whatever it is, I was worried, like, oh no, is this going to be not enough? But I was glad that it is. Now, it's only one double-sided board, and in the full pledge of that, there were, like, two double-sided boards, and then a couple of maps that you could build out of tiles in different ways. There are only six characters in the box. That's probably the spot that's a little bit weakest. But honestly, unless you're playing with six, you're going to play those characters. You're going to play six times. That's pretty good. It's 8 2-minute rounds, so you're talking about 16 minutes. Setup is significant, so be ready for a lot of setup. And in between rounds is 2 minutes. So it's like a 30-plus minute game with setup. It might run 45 minutes. Oh, but it's so fun, and I'm going to kill that one, and I got a grenade, and I'm going to blow up all these, and I'm going to go over here, and I got this, and you trigger that. Let's get back and hustle, 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 hustle. It's, with three or more players, it's pretty easy. It's really easy on easy mode. It's pretty easy on medium mode, and then hard mode gets difficult. It has a little bit of the Spirit Island feel, in that it's kind of like, at first, you're like, okay, this isn't bad. Oh no, here's this big roadblock. Are we going to get through this? And then you generally get through it, and then you win. So it isn't like, even though you're adding waves of enemies, it doesn't feel like, oh no, this is getting out of control, and we saved it, and oh no, it's out of control again, which I think is what Pandemic does so well that people like, is that you feel like you get one thing under control, you get a breather, another thing, a breather. This more does it with the 2-minute rounds. So I always, and I know this isn't a review, but it's basically becoming a review, I always talk about games in terms of, did I feel clever, did I have fun? I mean, there's no doubt, you can hear in my voice, that I had fun playing this game. I think some of those replay things might set up to be, it doesn't replay quite as much as I want. I'm not sure who I'll be able to play it with. Those are going to be some of the things. And I wish it was a little more innovative. I think that's going to end up sliding it down the list. But initially, it is so much fun. Getting back to that full box that you can buy. There's only 3 alien species and 8 bosses. Honestly, that's plenty. There's one more alien species in the Kickstarter version. I think there's like 12 more bosses. You don't need more than 8 bosses. 8 bosses is plenty. You make a deck of 20 boss cards and you draw one or two around. So you might see all 8 in a game that you're probably going to lose anyway, but typically you're only going to see 3 or 4 bosses, 4 or 5 bosses, something like that. It's not much of a loss there. So I actually think the base game's a pretty good deal in terms of that. Like I said, I was sad that I didn't back the Kickstarter because I like this one a whole bunch. But there's that piece. So we definitely want to get this on the stream. It's a matter of figuring out how to play it with probably more than 2 players, although we might just play it with 2. We'll have to see. But there's a lot to this game. But that is the best game I played in the month of July, Project Elite. But, of course, there was a whole host of other games, 24 that I would consider, you know, great games that were very fun. And some that, for the most part, there's people that are going to like those games, even though I didn't find my play of them, a lot of these a single play, or so great. With that, we'll wrap up episode 156 of the Portal Game Podcast. Check out our YouTube channel. That is new. We will be streaming and posting videos. We're going to do a lot more streaming than posting videos because we have that studio, so it just kind of makes sense to be there and playing. But I don't know what that's going to look like with school, but right now we're kind of looking at Tuesdays and Thursdays to do that. But yeah, the channel is The Portal. And really our goal there is to bring the games to you. Since you can't come to the store and see and play the games right now, you can purchase, and please purchase games because it definitely helps the store. But since you can't see the games, we want you to be able to see the games. And again, we're talking about games that we are excited about, that we think you should see. You know, as the channel goes on, we'll have to see where everything goes. But these are games that we played recently that we want you to know about in terms of all that. And we think they're great games, and we hope you do too. So check that out. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. This is episode 156 of the Portal Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Grant. And until next time, I hope you stack.